Jason. Really good. All right. This message is coming out. This message is, how do I say this? Probably starts off and you're thinking, you might be thinking, oh, yuck. A hard one. And I don't like them hard. But you gotta bring what. Listen, when God puts something on your heart, just do it. And you're going to hear that throughout this message today. So you're going to hear those words. Just do it. Just do it. We have an incident in the book of Acts, which I don't bring a lot of messages from, but we are today, and. In Acts chapter 5, we're going to start in the middle of an experience. But what happened was, Peter and several of the guys got arrested. And they brought them in, and the captain went with the officers, and they brought these, and they didn't commit violence on them, but they brought them in, and here's what happened. And you'll immediately jump into this passage in Acts chapter 5. And when they had brought them before and set them before the council, there's nothing like the religious council that you have to get approval from. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. What man? Jesus. And they were commanded by the religious crowd not to teach in Jesus' name. Isn't that something? Friends, in the coming days, in the latter days, if you want to call it, which I think are upon us, I think we're in the beginning stages of the latter days, from all I'm seeing. And it says, you know, one of your worst enemies is going to be the organized church. And I don't mean, I'm not against church. We're the church. But religious, let's put this, religion. And you don't conform. See, religion wants you to conform to its standards. Christianity, just in the freedom of the Spirit, leads us to conform to Christ's standards. And there's a big difference. Anybody ever, have you ever been involved with just religion? And you know the rules it's put on you? And you have to look and talk and act in a certain way. And Christianity's not that way. We're different. We're called out. We're chosen. And we're separated from the rest of the world. But we don't work under the rules of men. We work under the rules of God. And so the religious council, they said, we told you not to do this. We told you. My feeling is, well, who are you? You know, you don't own this town. You think you do. And so you intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought, now this is it. This is the key of this verse, but I want to lead into it and let you know what was happening. They said, you know, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that's the verse we're going to follow. We're going to jump on and use today, and we're going to take it and expand upon it. We ought to obey God rather than men. Friends, listen to me. I know, I'm telling you, we're being challenged this day. We, as the church, God's people, we are being challenged, and we're going to be challenged more in the near future. On this very subject, are we going to obey God rather than men? Now, let me say something to you, and I'm praying that God give me the strength to back this up. I'm not planning to have a chip put in my hand. And I know that will mean I can't do business. It's already being done in some countries, in Switzerland, where in other places, they've been experimenting with a little chip that goes between the thumb and the forefinger so that you don't use cash. You pass your hand over, and it's the chip has got all of this. And the push to go to digital currency is just one more step in the direction of, well, how are we going to do anything? We don't have money. But we are warned in Scripture that the mark of the Antichrist will be in the palm of the right hand or on the forehead. And whatever that mark is, we're not told, but it's the mark of the beast. And it could be easily be a chip as well as some lettering. I think it'll be something in the form of electronics, you know, but a chip. So it's already being used. And I'm not here to preach on chips, bring mess on that. I'm here to say, I have to make a decision. You have to make it beforehand and make up your mind. I'm not going to accept this. I must obey God rather than man. That's the whole point. It's not about chips. It's about obeying God. Because it said, once you take the mark of the beast, you'll not be able to take it back. And we'll get into that one of these days. But just to know that once you take the mark, you've denied Christ in such a way, you're done. The old expression, your goose is cooked. And I mean, it'll be literally cooked, but that's not funny, but it's what happens. Now, you don't have this up here, but let me just skim through a couple of things that they went on to say in this. I didn't put it in here, now I'm wishing I had, but read this chapter. Acts chapter 5, and before and after, because they said, we ought to obey God rather than men, and they said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered. Can you believe it? They told him this. You murdered him by hanging on a tree. And him, God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And so we're witness to these things, and also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. And so they went on to say, and we ought to obey God rather than men. And then he called these religious people murderers. Think that's pretty gutsy? They could have killed him for this. This is when somebody's really getting sold out to the Lord. This is when their whole life is being given to the Lord and they're not so worried about themselves when you're able to do that. Friends, that's where we're going to have to be. So let's talk about following God, obeying God, I started to put up in the title here, you know, obeying God, just do it. But we'll get into this. Listen, when you obey God, obeying God, you say, yeah, we're going to obey God, we're going to follow God. Doesn't that sound real good until you have to do it? It sounds real good for me to stand up here and bring this, and we're all saying, yeah, we know that. We ought to obey God. We will obey God rather than men. But when you're on the chopping block, when you're put against the wall, when it's take this chip, or you don't buy, sell, or trade, how easy will it be then? It won't be. It's never easy. I will not stand up here and tell you something that's not true. It is not easy to obey God. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever encounter. Now, I know that may sound odd. Christianity's not easy. I have a message on the two gates and the two paths I'm working on to bring you pretty soon. And on that, you know, that narrow gate, and then the broad one, and we're going to talk about those paths and some misnomers and misunderstandings about what that really says. But that's not today. Today, let's look at three. Well, let's just look at some challenges to obeying God. Things that make it hard to obey God. We ought to obey God rather than men. Why don't more Christians stand up and obey God today instead of cratering? Mentioned last week in the message how we've sold out Jesus and we let him be taken right before our eyes, out of our classrooms, out of our courtrooms, when we went through all of that. We let him be stolen from the public presence. We, as Christians, just let it happen. We didn't stand in protest. And what percentage of people were offended by all that? How small a percentage? They just have big pockets, deep pockets. and can throw money at certain politicians and judges. But friends, when all this happened, you know, this thing of obeying God rather than men becomes a hard thing, and we watched people not obeying God for years. So let me give you some real issues that you're going to run into in obeying God that's going to challenge you real hard. Number one, it's when others don't like it. When it comes hard, it becomes really hard to obey God is when others don't like it, they don't approve of it, and it's not trending. It's not the thing to obey God. And let me ask you something. In Christianity today, is it the thing to obey God? Or just to come and give lip service and have a big bunch of music where you can't hear the words? Really, seriously. And just blow everybody out, and everybody's ears are ringing, and have a little tiny message, and everybody goes home and say, yay, yay, what a worship service, and God's saying, what a mess. You don't even know what you did and why you were there. You just got all jazzed up and all emotional, and it's happening everywhere. And if certain people in authority positions are correct in saying that roughly 70% of all churches in America are woke, we're in deep trouble. We're in deep trouble if that's really the case. I know there are a lot. More and more are falling all the time and saying we're woke. You're not Christian then. You're not saying we're standing on the Word of God and we ought to obey God rather than men. No, we're woke. Oh, doesn't that really, that, yes, God's so happy with you. So when people don't like it, it's going to be a hard call, friends. And I'm just laying this out here because we're in those times and you're going to have to be willing to take your stand. It's what happened to Peter and the disciples here in Acts chapter 5. They were told not to talk about Jesus. But Jesus told them in the Great Commission, I want you to take this message and talk about me. So what do? Now listen to me. We're told to keep Jesus Christ in the church and not take him out there. That there is something in our Constitution bylaws about separation of church and state. That is the biggest lie that's ever been poured out on us. There is nothing in there about separation of church and state. It says the state, the government, will not respect any particular religious group. But we all have the right to worship as we see fit. There is no separation of church and state, and it's time that God's people, God's Christian people, got after it and put it in the face of people out there, and especially elected officials, and said, don't you tell me what's a lie. Amen. How can a liar call me a liar? So don't let anybody tell you, you put that back in the church and you just keep Jesus in those four walls. Jesus lives right here, and whatever here goes, they're going to get it. And that's the way it is. And you have to be that way. The church is not this building. The church is you and me. Christ in me, my hope of glory. My body is the temple of living God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, friends. And we're not going to be separated. I'm not going to be talked down to. And besides, if it's working so well for you not to have Jesus out there, tell me why there's so much chaos in the country. Why are we in the shape we're in? Why are people killing each other like they are and abusing each other like they are? I keep getting those little things on my, those little alerts on my phone. Drives me nuts. You get them? You know, somebody kidnapped, and this kid, and that kid, and that kid. If it's working so great leaving Jesus out of society, how come that's going off? It's corrupted us, friends. It's hurt us really bad. Obeying God has never been the popular thing. It never has been. Even Christians, listen to me. Here's the tough part, and I've run into it many times. Even fellow Christians can be put out with you when you choose to obey God rather than men. You ever had that happen to you? People that, you know, you thought were real Christian, strong Christian people. And they're saying, you're not gonna eat this, you're not gonna drink that. We always do that. And you're saying, no, I'm not. And they're put out with you. You're not doing what's the popular thing. You know, in your family, you can receive a lot of hard hits from family because you're not participating in some family ritual or whatever that you know God doesn't want you to do. Listen to me. God spells out in Scripture what He wants. But sometimes for each of us individually, He'll put it in your heart not to do something, not to say something. And it's a hard thing. And listen, I'm not trying to make light of it, but you ever start to eat something or you're going to order something or it could be anything. And suddenly you just knew that God was saying, no, don't, no. And everybody else is ordering it. And if you don't order it, they're going to say something. You ever been in that position? If you haven't, you will, but we all have. And it's just that prompting of the Holy Spirit. And you don't know why. We're going to get into that in a minute. It's just weird. I mean, some things God wants you to do. But there's times that it might be over some particular food, some particular drink. Maybe everybody's ordering drinks. And all of a sudden you just have that check in your spirit that says, not here, not now. Are you going to obey God rather than man? What are you going to do? And it won't be popular. And people are going to say something. It happens all the time. This is not future stuff. This is things we have to deal with every day. If you know that God has put in your heart to do or not do something, why are you hesitating? Just listen to Him. Just do what He tells you. Whatever He says. Or if He says don't. It could be anything. And it may be He's protecting you from food that's contaminated, for all you know. Or maybe He's just testing you to say, will you obey me rather than men? Are you going to do an unpopular thing here? Believe me, I catch this every so often. And it's always been uncomfortable and difficult in this one area. I'll go somewhere, people ask me to go with them to eat, usually at the evening in a dinner meal, and they all want to drink a wine. Some will have a beer. And Tony, what do you want? And there's that thing. And I know if I say, oh, I'll have tea, and that's my sweet tea, by the way. And I see the looks, and I know, and somebody will say, you're not going to have a drink with us? And they make it so dadgum personal. You're not going to have a drink with us? Is God calling? Yeah. He didn't want me to have that drink. Yeah, and that summed it up. But it's always awkward, and I know, and I can just tell people getting a little uncomfortable. But as you know, I've told you here, I will not in public do that. I'm not going to do it. I just can't do it. I got real close once. You know, there's a salad I liked there in the Mexican food place in Kerrville. And the dressing we ate there. It had something in it. Something in it. And it was good. I wanted to ask for more dressing. And then I thought, and we were eating there, and I thought, no, don't do that. But having a drink, that's my thing. And I said, I won't do it because I don't want to mislead someone. And all of you know where I stand on that. It's not that I'm against you having a glass of wine somewhere. It's just that God doesn't want me doing that out there. And it's always, though, received, not with you, but with others, and will ask me to go with them. And there's some displeasure. There's some, who's he think he is? I can tell. And it's like, I don't think I'm anybody. But my God says no, and that's my thing. And what is it for you that you know is God's thing with you that you just better not do? I believe all of us have it, whether we're listening or not. But listen to him. What is it that God says, I don't want you doing that. It may be smoking in public. It may be what? It could be anything. It could be something to do with your temperament. It may be saying something off color. It may be God saying, I don't want you telling any off color jokes in public. I don't want you doing that. And that's your testing area. Well, let's move on. We get the idea. Secondly, what's a real obstacle, stumbling point, a stumbling block, or just a challenge to obeying God's will when it's hard to comprehend? And this ties in what we were just saying. Write this down or make note of it in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know it, but have you thought about it and studied this verse? He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. There's the catch. He says, trust in the Lord, but don't do it by what you understand. Just trust Him. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. It's hard to obey God when you don't comprehend what there is to obey. And let me give you a few examples. And it just baffled me. We haven't been there, or have we? And let's follow this out. Moses is going along tending his little sheep. Been there many, many years. And suddenly there's something weird happening on the hillside. And he goes up to look, and there's this bush that burns but doesn't burn up. And out of this burning bush, God is speaking. Now look, we read that and say, wow. If you were standing there and all of a sudden it says, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground, and you go, you've been following sheep for years and years, nothing holy about that. How would it strike you, really? Weird? Could you comprehend it? Who could? Even a man like Moses standing there going, what? This voice is speaking out of a bush that doesn't burn up and tells me to take my shoes off. I'm on holy ground, and you want me to do what? Well, today, I guarantee you, where would you end up? Psychiatric ward. I better call my counselor. I'm going to call my doctor or something. I'm hearing voices. Seriously. He was hearing voices. A voice. And God speaks to him out of this bush, tells him to go do something. Is he comprehending all this? I mean, has he got a real understanding? Heck no, he doesn't understand. And there's the place, and he's even trying to get out of it. I can't talk well. Well, your brother Aaron can speak for you, and he's coming right now. How did it happen? He was just happening to come along. God's so interesting to deal with. But that burning bush thing has always intrigued me. That you can't comprehend. Can you comprehend that? Could anybody comprehend that? A bush? If you walked out here and one of these bushes just, boom, it was a glow, a flame, and a voice said, take your boots off. That's what it'd have to say to me. I don't wear sandals. And, you know, you're on holy ground. And Tony, I want you to go to Congress. And I want you to set my people free. I'd be going, give me some medicine. Wow, you would too. But friends, I look at that and say, and it's like that happened a long time ago. Did it? How many of you, think about it, have had a burning bush experience and you walked away from it because you couldn't make any sense of it, you couldn't comprehend it? I think the bush burns more than we realize, and because we don't comprehend it, we get away from it. Be careful before you run from a strange experience. It just might be a bush burning for you. And there was Peter, and he goes on top of the little house, and he's praying. And then he sees this net let down. All these unclean things in it. Here's Peter, the Jewish Christian, and all these things they're forbidden to eat is out there, and he hears this voice. Yeah. What's this about voices anyway? A lot of hearing voices in Scripture, you know? And this voice is take and eat. And he says, not so, Lord. I've never touched anything unclean. Take and eat, take and eat. And it goes back up into heaven. Could you comprehend that? Put yourself in his shoes. Could you comprehend that? I mean, this thing, this sheet, or whatever he called it, is lowered, and all these unclean critters, things, crawly things, nasty things. And then guess who comes calling? The unclean Gentiles. And then he gets a little bit of it. Because the voice tells him, don't you call unclean what I've declared clean. Changed the dietary laws, but it also said, don't you call those Gentiles unclean anymore. I've just declared them clean, and you get yourself in there and take care of them. Do what I told you to do. Could he comprehend it? That all, you know, he's born and raised. And by the way, they couldn't even touch a Gentile. You're unclean. And now you want me to go to their house. Yes, I want you to obey God rather than man. And then this other one, and I'll move on real quick. What about David? Solid, goofed it up, royal. And David, shepherd boy, they finally call him in, and the prophet's saying, they got any more sons? None of these match up. And I've got one son, he's out with the sheep, but he's just a kid. Call him in. And he was the one. And he's anointed. And he's going to be the king of Israel. And what does he end up doing? Running for his life and hiding in caves. He can't comprehend that. How do you match that up? What understanding is there? Friends, listen to me. Listen not to me. Listen to God talking to you, speaking with you. There are times God is going to allow things in your life and confront you, let you be confronted with things you can't comprehend. And all you can do is just do it. Just do it. It's all you can do. And I can't help this, you know. There's just times that just turn it off and do it. David had to run and hide in caves, could have killed Saul, didn't do it. Because Saul was God's anointed, and he said, I will not touch. We can't touch God's anointed. And David went to a living hell. And he was anointed king. Just because God calls you and anoints you, or you know he's put in your heart to do something for him, don't think that you may not be running and hiding in caves for a while until the time is right. Don't let bad things take you off course. Let me give you one other thing, then we'll move on to some of the better stuff. It's hard. Another thing that will really be tough to overcome to obey God's will is when it defies logic. Not only does you can't comprehend it, but it defies logic. Let me give you a couple of things. Here's old Joshua, battle-hardened commander. He knows war, and he knows God. He knows his commander-in-chief. And all of a sudden, instead of going in there and taking the spear and let's do it and let's assault, he says, Joshua, I want you to have the priest take the ark with a guard. And I want you to have them every day for 6 days walk around the city of Jericho and don't make a sound. You know, as a battlefield commander, I would have issues with that, wouldn't you? And they're looking at you. The enemy's counting you. He knows your numbers. See, there's things you don't want the bad guys to know. He's counting your whole army. He knows everything. He's watching you. And you look like an idiot. They're up there on the walls. And they're thinking, boy, these Jewish people have lost it. We know their whole number. They don't threaten us. And they're just walking around. There's the ark. 6 days they did that. But on the seventh day, he said, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go around that city 6 times. And on the seventh time, I want you to go around the and each time that you go around it, those 6 times, I want the priest blowing the trumpets. We finally get to make some noise. But it's not battle weapons. You mean that they're going to toot the horn and there's nothing behind it? That just draws the enemy's fire right on top of us. I mean, that's how I think. And I was like, God, don't make a sound. But that's what God said to do. So they went around blowing a horn. And on the seventh time, it said, when the priest will blow this long note on the horns, all the people just shout. So, if I was commanding that outfit, and those are my orders, you want us to walk around there 6 times, and the seventh time, the priests are going to make this long bellowing note on the horns, and we're going to shout at the enemy. They have weapons up there. That's what you want us to do? This is no logic. This defies logic. But they did it. And the whole wall fell down. Now listen, friends. God may be calling you right now, and I bet you some of you, maybe all of us, he's saying, there's something in your life. He said, I know this defies logic, but I want you to do it for me. Doesn't make sense, you can't comprehend it, but I want you to do it. You know, there was poor old Jehoshaphat, and he was surrounded by the enemy, and they go and pray, and he says, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, oh, bring out the band and the singers and go out there and just start singing to the enemy. Sure. We'll sing while we're dying, huh? That's me, but that's what God said to go out there and have a party. That's Tony's version. He said, go make music, sing, worship me, and you're surrounded by the bad guys. They went out and did it. God in his way, try to explain that, wiped them out. And there's Israel. Don't even lift a hand. They don't have to fight in the battle, and God killed everybody. How does that work? You say, what is all this about? Friends, when others don't like it and you can't comprehend it and it defies logic, there's a time to just say, God told me to do it, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. Jesus told his disciples he was going into Jerusalem to be crucified. Let me ask you something. Did that make any sense to them? Wouldn't to me. You see, we want to understand everything in life. We want God to write it on the wall for us. We want God, we say, God, I want to obey you, but show me. And we want it in concrete, man. I want to be positive now. And how many of you keep praying? How long are you going to keep praying for God to show it to you when God's saying, I've already written it here in this word, and I've already prompted you in my spirit. When are you just going to do it? If you wait for everything in life to make sense and be crystal clear, you're going to be waiting for a long time. Because it never will. And you're going to miss a lot of good things and a lot of great blessings. And you're going to have to overcome the what ifs. And this is what keeps a lot of people back. You ready for this? Here's why we talk ourselves out of things. We say, well, what if they get upset if I go talk to them? What if they think I'm weird or crazy? What if they don't even understand? What if they talk about me? Isn't that the big one? What if, what if, what if? I've had people say, Tony, I just felt like I need to. Well, why don't you? They're going to say all kinds of things about me. Oh, really? They're going to talk about you anyway. Everybody here, hear this. If you are going to be a living, live, get after it Christian, they, whoever they are going to talk about you. They are. If they don't have anything, they'll make it up. You're going to get talked about, so go on and do it. I need to close. I'm getting hungry. Are you hungry? I'm hungry. Let me just give you a little bit of way to obey. Just obeying. There's some ways to get this done. You're going to have to learn to listen to God. You're going to have to pray for courage to do it. Here's what God says. Write this down. Joshua 1:9. It applies to him, applies to you and me. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Or be strong and in good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Friend, don't be afraid. God's commanded us all, just like he did Joshua. I've commanded you, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. The Lord your God's with you wherever you go. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. I can't stress it enough. Read this stuff. Meditate. Meditate means I put it before me and I ask God to reveal all that he wants to reveal to me about this passage I'm reading today. That's how messages materialize for me. Show me God. Make something stick as I read through different passages. Make it whatever it is. Don't let me get away from it. And don't let me say no to you, because there's some messages, even like this one, it's like, I got a happier one to bring. I'm looking at a happier passage. It's like, just do it. Just do it. So stay in the Word, meditate. Meditate means I look at it and I pray on it. And then I ask God, what is it that I need to see in this passage? What is it? Get your Word studies, get your Bible study material and look at it. God will speak to you. Trust God with it. Watch him work. You see, so this obeying God thing involves this, yes, and it begins with this. Believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. That's the first big, huge step to obedience. You've got to believe and keep believing. You have to determine that you're going to stay with God's commandments. And you make up your mind, I'm going to love God with all my heart the best I know how. I'm going to love others as myself. I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? It's in Galatians 5. Here it is. It's love, joy, peace. Ask God to put all of this fruit. It's one big fruit and it contains it all. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what we have to obey God rather than man. You've got to have it. And you're going to have to learn to walk by faith, not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I watched a movie. You'll all know what it is. Because the key moment came. The key moment came when the leader of the flight going into bad guy country, he said, don't think, just do. Jim, I remember that movie? Okay, well, that was the focal point. It was in what? Maverick. Top Gun, Maverick. And he's got one, and it's Rooster, and he's just not, he's too slow on the throttle, and they're coming to, and he'd said it before, don't think, just do. Friends, you keep thinking too much, you keep analyzing too much, just do. Just do it. That line caught me, because I thought, and I've known commanders, I've known people that overthought the situation. Yeah, you want to get at your intelligence and whatever that's worth, and then everything else you can gather, and you get a plan, but don't overthink it. Keep it simple. Let me tell you some things that you're just going to have to learn to just do it. You ready? Maybe this will hit a note with someone. Don't think, just do it. That means make that call you've been putting off. Make the call. Send the text. Cook the meal. Say you're sorry. Ask forgiveness. Tell others you love them. Encourage others. Send an encouraging note. Give an encouraging call. Say what needs to be said, or don't say anything at all. Give them the money. I know people that God's put on their heart to give somebody something, and you've talked yourself out of it. You must obey God rather than man. Give and it'll be given unto you, pressed down, running over without measure. That's what's going to happen. And all these things. Make that call. Fix that food. Make that visit. Give them the money. Stay silent or confront. And on the list goes. But what is it? Does that touch any note with anyone here that you've been putting off because you're afraid of what might happen? All these things that go against it. Who cares what they think? It only matters what God says and what God thinks. Friends, we must obey God rather than men. And there is coming a day, and the day is here. We're being challenged already. What are you going to do? What is it that God has on your heart that you must, that he, you know He wants you to do? Do it. Don't think, just do. Don't think, just do. I've had people tell me, I knew God had put it on my heart to make this call. Why didn't you? I kept talking myself out of it. And now it's too late. They passed on. Make the call. Make the visit. Fix the food. Bake the cake. Whatever it is. It may seem small, but to God it's huge. And if He's suing it, I must obey God rather than man. Don't think, just do. Father, we thank You for this word, this message. We thank You for the power of it. Change our lives with it. That we can must get out here, and no matter what we face, no matter what, we will obey God rather than men. And overcome our flesh, Lord, not to overthink it, not to overanalyze it. Don't think, just do. And pray this and thank You for it. And use this to Your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Tom's going to come help us today and share this Lord's Supper with you. There you go. I appreciate you doing it. Thank you. Tom is handing this out, and I'm only saying this because I'm struggling with it at the moment. So when I'm struggling with something, I'll say it, or try to. But is there anyone that needs to go to someone else and say, you know, I really like you, I love you, or forgive me, or I'm sorry for something? Is there? If you need to do it, just do it. Don't think, just do. Is there anyone in your family, or any friend, or whoever? Someone from a former church, even, that you just need to, just do it. Just get it right. Whatever it is. And if the Lord ever puts on your heart to fix the pastor a medium rare steak and potato, don't think, just do. That's one of my most favorite. People have asked me, what's your favorite food? If I had to narrow it down, I like a medium rare steak and a baked potato with lots of butter. That's all. Just and a little salad would be just fine. There you go. Thank you. No, it's a no-calorie deal. That's right. On Sunday it isn't. But I've always just I like a potato floating in butter. And that's why I can't do this very often. But thank you. Thank you. Did you get one for yourself? Okay. Thank you very much. There you go. That's it. But you know, if there's a call you need to make, something you need to do, you're identifying with Christ here in this, ask yourself, what would he do? What would he do? If he'd do it, we do it. So let's take this bread. Wow. I get two crackers today. Yeah, hey. Oh, thank you. Or maybe he's saying, I want you to doubly remember what this is about, Tony. Don't forget it. And he said, "This is take eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And we identify with him by doing this. You're going to hear the crunching in this mic. I'm sorry. And then he took the cup. And he said, "Now, take this. You know, this is my blood, which is shed for you." Remember this as we go. They didn't really have a clue what he was doing. None of this made sense till afterward. But they did it anyway. And let that sink home, and let's be the same way. Even if we don't have a clue, if it's in his word and his prompting of his spirit, just do it anyway. God bless you and keep you. God make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his presence upon you, and the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here.